Welcome back to Anime Death Spiral, the only anime podcast that is 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 the only.
Thanks. It's great to be back. I really appreciate it. You know, I always like being asked onto the show. One of my favorite shows.
We like to harbor a feeling of familiarity for our guests that makes it feel like a second home to them to come back to.
Yeah. I feel really comfortable in this show, kind of, you know, saying whatever I want. I really appreciate it. It's like, it's a nice, warm environment.
This is a safe space to really let your opinions out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I like about this show.
In a non-judgy way.
No, I would never judge anything.
All right. Well, I guess right off the bat, there's some things that have happened in the world of anime recently that we have to probably address, right?
You know, I'm going to go out and say we don't have to, but I feel like, you know, I kind of want to.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to, despite all of the people.
I don't think we have to.
Despite all the people really telling us that we shouldn't, you know, I guess I should add in there. I believe that we're going to anyway.
You know, it's not obligatory, especially, you know, after some of the comments certain people have made on this show.
Okay. I've never played a Dragon Quest game. I said that. All I said was that I was not a huge fan of the art style. And now don't I feel silly?
Don't you feel silly?
Yes. Unfortunately, anime has lost a titan of the industry this past week. Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball Z and GT and several other letter versions of it, is passed away. Very sad news.
Of course, biggest passing in manga history since Tezuka, probably.
Yeah. Now, were you ever really like a big Dragon Ball guy?
For a little while. I was talking about this to somebody else the other day. You know, we kind of had similar experiences. It's like, obviously, Dragon Ball Z comes into the American child's life like a fucking thunderbolt from God, strikes us dead between the eyes. We're going like, holy shit, what is this? It truly is unlike anything we've ever seen before. Because anime is what? When we were little, before Dragon Ball, you know, we're watching Pokemon, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's kind of the big touchstone. And Pokemon it's a kid's show, you know?
It's for little babies, yeah.
It's for little babies. I mean, I love Pokemon. I think the cartoon is really well done.
I'm replaying Heart Gold right now.
Yeah, you fucking weirdo.
Because I am a little baby at
heart.
You
are a little baby. That's so weird. That's a weird thing to do.
It's not weird. It's a perfectly normal adult thing to do.
It's fucking strange. But it is comparable to its contemporaries. But Dragon Ball fucking lands. There's these fucking dudes are beating the shit out of each other. There's blood squirting out of these guys. Sometimes it's not even red. Sometimes red.
Yeah,
and
it depends on which era you were watching it, because there were definitely bootleg episodes that got shipped over, you know, early. Fan subs have been around for a long time, and so people knew about Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z before they got official English dubs, and when they did, there was a little bit of censoring going on.
Dragon Ball Z is not one of these shows I watched any fan dubs of, or subs.
And I don't think most people did, but I'm saying that they were out there, right?
Sure. I mean, I watched Cowboy Bebop for the first time with what I have to assume is like third-hand machine translated subtitles, because nothing made sense. I mean, nothing. We had no idea what was happening on that show.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is that every kid, every schoolyard kid with a backwards hat had a friend that was like, hey, you know, there are banned episodes of Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z that they won't show in America, but my cousin has like a tape and you can totally see Bulma's titties, right? Every single one of us has had that experience.
No. I have not had that experience. I did not have that experience at all.
Yeah.
I knew very few people who talked about anime in general, let alone Bulma's titties.
Well, we've established that you didn't have a regular childhood.
Well, I mean, it's hard to argue against that. But the point being that was a mind-blowing experience for a child. There was nothing like that.
Yes, it was bombastic in a way that we had never seen before, and we were all gobsmacked by it. They yes. shot fucking lasers out of their hands.
They did. The whole thing was about kicking each other's ass. I mean, I probably had only seen like a couple of kung fu movies at that point too, so I was like, I was still fresh to the kicking each other's ass genre. Okay. Like at that time to begin with.
Can I share a little side anecdote about Dragon Ball Z, like my personal perception of it at that time?
Sure, go ahead.
Because like you said, I was a kid, I was watching Pokemon, Digimon. I watched a fair amount of Sailor Moon.
Little baby shit.
Yeah.
Little child baby shit.
And you know, My Neighbor Totoro was like a big formative like movie that I would watch over and over again as like a little kid.
Sure.
Before I even had a concept of like, oh, there are cartoons that come from other countries, let alone from Japan specifically, right?
You didn't even know there were other countries.
No, I had a little baby brain.
Yeah.
That I never grew out of. But what I'm saying is when I first watched Dragon Ball Z serialized, first on Fox Saturday morning and then on Cartoon Network, that was like the first connective point where I looked at all of these other media things that I was watching, like, oh, these are anime, like, right? What I'm saying is Dragon Ball Z was my first conceptual touchstone on what is an anime, I think. Before, it was all just like cartoons that had a noticeably different aesthetic from other ones that I would watch.
Yeah.
And I knew that they were different somehow, but I didn't know like what it was, like what the word was to describe that. I mean, one word, I guess one word is foreign.
These foreign films, these Xeno cartoons. But,
you know, even young baby me felt that terminology felt a little loaded.
Seems weird. Yeah. I mean, that I was a little different in that regard, like you alluded to earlier. I was an abnormal. The abnormals. I had been watching stuff like Babar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The king of the elephants, right? He wore a very slick suit and a crown.
Yeah, fucking monarchy apologist shit.
Yes, I know. I watched, especially it's weird because, you know, even more so than America, France has a pretty hostile relationship with monarchies to begin with. But I also watched stuff like Le Grand Musi, of course. big furry monster guy.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
his
Muzzy.
Yeah, his arch nemesis Carvax. Carvax.
Wait, wasn't that like a language learning thing?
It was, yes. Yeah. It was marketed in America as like like teach your baby how to speak French thing. But they were just good. I mean, like, honestly, like, straight up. They were, like, fun, entertaining cartoons.
Were they an educational cartoon for French kids to learn French? Or were they just, like, a French kids cartoon?
In context, they were very similar to other baby brain shit, like Sesame Street or, what was another one? Barney, maybe? Where they were kind of educational.
Between Two Lions? You probably don't remember that one.
What? No, I what?
That was another puppet educational show about the stone lions at the New York Library, and they come to life and teach you about books.
Have you mentioned this before? I feel like maybe you've mentioned this before. That's so weird.
I've probably mentioned it before.
This is a touchstone of your childhood in particular.
It was not a touchstone, but it stuck in my brain because that was like the weird educational cartoon or show or whatever that was on like PBS.
Do you remember The Pagemaster?
Wait, the Macaulay Culkin movie?
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd.
I never watched that. I'm aware of it.
Fucking kicked you know, ass.
It's in my cultural cache, but I never watched it.
That shit ruled. For some reason, I think those two lines show up in that, so it's just, it clicks. I have horrible brain and it clicked. Anyway, the Muzi was like, it taught you grammar. And so I watched that. I watched Asterix and Obelix, of course, one of the great French cultural exports.
You're really setting up a theme here.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is I also had a similar experience in that I knew that there were other places in the world and they were also making cartoons. But just like you, when I watched anime, it became special.
Yeah.
It was not, when I watched anime, it was not like Asterix and Obelix, you know, it was not like Babar. This was like, holy shit, this is a thing. And Dragon Ball Z was that thing.
It was that thing.
Yeah. And I watched all the way through Frieza, and I watched, when I was talking to my friend here, we kind of fell off near the same place. I think he watched all the way to Majin Buu, and I might have, like, almost got to Majin Buu.
Halfway through the Majin Buu arc is where I originally fell off.
You dropped off?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the Frieza arc was like the anime 101 course we all like went through. It was like anime boot camp. Like everybody fucking did that shit.
Yeah.
Everybody I knew who watched anime and was willing to admit that they watched anime many years later did fucking Frieza Dragon Ball Z boot camp. And they came out the other side and they were like, oh yeah, this is like the coolest shit. I mean, this is the coolest shit.
It was absolutely the height of tension and storytelling for an 8-year-old brain watching it Saturday morning, like way too early.
Yeah, yeah. And, it is something in a much broader sense that I definitely think of a lot in that, like, that is the kind of thing I think is great for kids. I'm on the side where, like, I think children deserve content. Oh, fuck. Why did I said the word? I said content. You deserve know that, art, man. And entertainment that is challenging in that way. In that it like scary things, exciting things, violent things. I think those are good for growing children. I think those things are good, whereas when I was a child, many parents thought those things were literally like brain poison. They thought it was evil, like deeply evil.
I mean, there was many a hand wringing over those evil Japanese foreign cartoons.
Yeah, these horrible violence,
especially around Dragon Ball Z, mind you. There were articles written about it.
Yes, it was wild.
Yeah,
but like that, and you know, and even non anime stuff. You know, Courage the Cowardly Dog, right? Like. Horror, like straight up horror, which is what Courage was, like terrifying shit.
Well, there was a lot of that in the 90s.
It's good for your brain.
Goosebumps, obviously, a huge
didn't
drop.
Scare me.
Kids fucking love Goosebumps.
Didn't scare me.
I'm just saying
that shit wasn't scary. I never got scared.
It's well established on the show that you and I both are big, strong, buff, and handsome.
Well, I've just
and nothing scares us because we're too strong.
So when I was watching Courage the Cowardly Dog, I was laughing at that shit.
Well, what you're describing is numbness. You're numb to these kinds of things.
I'm numb to the horrors of the world. But like that kind of stuff is good. Like unequivocally, I think is good. And I think Dragon Ball Z is good in that it also, like you said, opened up the idea that things come from other places, which is, you know, really eye-opening for our generation, whereas previously I think a lot of people basically know America as the place stuff like is made.
Well, you know, I think a factor in that for me, and this is again just on my own personal scope of what I consumed as a kid, but Dragon Ball Z was the first anime that I consumed where there wasn't a extremely heavy-handed amount of localization done to the material to make it more accessible, you know, quote-unquote, sure, to American audiences. Whereas in stuff like Pokemon, you know, calling the characters by Western-sounding names, stupid pun names, by the way, Ash Ketchum, I never liked that. I never liked it. That was always the stupidest
Ash
thing.
Ash Ketchum. Yeah.
You know, calling the very obvious ones, you know, calling onigiri donuts or whatever.
Yeah.
All of that. Dragon Ball Z was the first one to not really do so much heavy-handed localization in that way, and they retained a lot of the character names, which were admittedly based on, like, Japanese phonetic puns of American words, which I always kind of thought was funny.
Well,
like,
and
that.
Just straight food stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
they were just named after food.
You know, like, Goku's Saiyan name is Kakarot. He's a fucking carrot.
Kakarot!
He's fucking Carrot Top.
Yeah, that shit ruled. It's fucking so cool.
So I don't know. That's where I first, like, really noticed that, I guess. And I like that. I like that a lot about it.
Yeah, it was great. And it opened the door for, like, so much shit. And taught me how to watch anime in general. And, like, oh, there's arcs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
there's, like, power levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that gave me a context to, like, move forward into stuff like Gundam Wing, stuff like Trigun, stuff like Eva Cowboy Bebop, you know, that was, like, moving into more advanced narrative structures, but still, like, gave me the context that I needed to, like, actually appreciate that stuff.
Well, just narrative structure at all, really, because I think it's true for a lot of people that anime is, like, a kid's... it can be a kid's first introduction to, like, serialized storytelling, because a lot of Western cartoons, like, marketed towards kids, are episodic in nature, because they want them to be,
yes,
you know, infinitely syndicatable, right?
Yeah, you should be able to play them out of order, and it shouldn't matter.
Which is
why it was so exciting that, like, when you had, like, a recurring character, like, come back, you know, after a few episodes or whatever, or, like, a two-parter, mm-hmm, even. Wow,
oh, yeah,
that was crazy.
And Pokemon, too, I think was really the first... That was the first touchstone for me, because missing an episode of Pokemon and having to wait 26 weeks for it to fucking cycle through the season and start over again,
yeah,
because it only played once a week after, mm-hmm, school, that was torture. And also, like, absolutely devious on the marketing department, right? Because that was absolutely a part of the addictive appeal of Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. And you would throw these horrible tantrums, and you'd refuse to eat your chicken nuggies.
I'd rip up the kitchen, you know, get stand in the sink and fill it up with water and kick it everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Legendary.
I was a real terror back then when I was 18.
I also liked discovering, like, continuously discovering how much Toriyama had just touched, like, everything else. You know, obviously, even before I was aware of, like, Dragon Quest as games, the slime was so ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm.
Truly one,
mm-hmm,
of the most iconic designs ever, you know?
I mean, he basically created the fighting tournament arc in manga. Like, that is game-changing.
That a lot of people go back to Dragon Ball for that, for sure. I'm thinking of, like, when I was playing Chrono Trigger a little bit later in life, because I didn't have a Super Nintendo at my house, and, like, you know, seeing the concept art and being like, wait, what? Oh, Toriyama designed these? Holy shit.
Yeah, Chrono Trigger, Dragon Quest. Remember Blue Dragon? Did you ever play that when the 360,
yes,
came out?
Yes, I remember Blue Dragon.
At that point, Blue Dragon was pretty recognizable. It was like, oh yeah, that's the Dragon Ball guy. That's his stuff. That's his dragon. That's his dragon.
And then, of course, you know, all the the Hawaiian shirts with big Dragon Ball designs all over them.
Dude loves Hawaiian shirts.
I love that shit. I think there was a very brief window for me. I think I graduated past the Hawaiian shirt with Goku on it phase of my life very quickly.
Oh, you're talking about the Dragon Ball Z Flaming Dragon shirts.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Dragon Ball shirts.
I thought you were talking about Akira Toriyama's penchant for putting his characters in Hawaiian shirts.
No, he definitely had a great eye for like 90s fashion. I love that about him. He had truly, and of course, you know, iconic moving into like the streetwear world later on.
Oh, absolutely.
But like those streetwear, the streetwear phenomenon began with like the insanely ugly Dragon Ball shirts. The button-ups, the shiny, and they were always inexplicably shiny too. Mm-hmm.
Gotta have that glossy finish.
Yeah, not silk, but like trying to be silk.
Nylar or whatever.
Yeah. Horrible polymers for sure. Yeah, I dipped my toe into that world for a second. I probably wore one to school, like high school, for a day or two.
Did you have a wallet chain to go with it?
I had a wallet that was had the chain adapter, but I'm not sure if I ever wore it as a
wallet
chain.
Now, that depends on what your definition of wallet chain is.
What if I had it like on a big string? I didn't have enough for the chain, so I just tied like a shoelace into it.
Hey, this kid's belt is just a piece of string.
It's an extension cord. What's wrong with my extension cord? Yeah, I'm a little shook for sure. Mm-hmm. I think both of us were more shook with the Miara nose. That was like world destroying for me, I think, because I had moved on from Dragon Ball like a long time ago.
I mean, I don't want to rain on your parade there, but I didn't read Berserk until after Miura died.
Yes, that is fucking wild to me. I had forgotten that you had come up so recently.
Yeah,
when he died for me, that was like holy shit. And I might have talked about this earlier in the pod, but like, I'm not really a celebrity guy or like a celebrity death guy. I don't really have that emotional response to that kind of stuff. But knowing like that Miura, his time was up, that shook me for sure.
Well, I think his is more
wild.
His is definitely a worse wound because A, Berserk was never finished. And B, because for a long time people knew he was ill, and it looked like he had beat that initial illness. He was on the rebound from his cancer when he had a heart complication that actually killed him. And whether or not that Yes. was a complication of the cancer or not, I don't know. But He was looking hopeful, so
it was a complication of drawing manga.
Yeah, it was a complication
which
of...
has a 100% fatality rate, by the way. The survival rate is zero.
Now, on top of that, are you aware that statistically people who draw manga die earlier and less happy as well?
Yeah. I mean, you should be a fireman before you're a manga artist. So you will live longer, you will be healthier, you'll have more friends, you'll be in a more supportive work environment.
Listen, if you want to die early, be a dentist, because at least you get more money that way.
Yeah, and you get to choose how you go out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what else to say. This is some crazy shit, and we're probably not going to feel reverberations like this until Oda goes. Mm-hmm. I think he's the next one up, really. I don't want to jinx it or anything, but he's probably next up. He's probably next at bat, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of massive manga deaths.
You don't think? Well, okay.
How morbid. So morbid.
Now, but I don't know. There is one other slightly more likely candidate up next. Other than Oda, and I think you know who I'm talking about.
No, who are you talking about?
The big man, the Ghibli man, Miyazaki. Dude's old as fuck.
Sure, yes, absolutely, that's true. But I feel like in that regard, we're all kind of like sitting on our hands. You know what I mean? Like, he's still around. I mean.
Is he still around? He just won another Oscar.
I know. It's just weird because it's, you know, it really is a testament to that kind of like country living, I guess, because the man has been chain smoking nonstop for what, 60, 70 years?
Yeah. He's 85 and he's been smoking 4 packs a day since 3 years old.
Yeah, probably. And all he does is sit down and stare at his desk for what seems to be, according to some of the traumatized underlings, is like 12 hours a day.
He just sits there typing on his typewriter, all work and no play make Hayao a dull boy.
You look at it as a younger mangaka and you're like, I exercise, I don't smoke, I try to my best of my ability, you know, have a work-life balance, but I'm not going to live to 120. This is so unfair. Like, this is not fair. It does, like, how is this happening?
It isn't fair.
It's just not fair. On the other hand, you know, like, Araki is going to live for another 100 years. He will outlive us all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's comforting.
No, he has some kind of, Faustian deal going on behind the scenes.
Truly, truly. People make that joke about Paul Rudd being an unaging vampire, right?
You mean, the one I always saw was Keanu Reeves. People always joked about...
Sure, Keanu.
Yeah, Keanu.
Yeah, I mean, look, no offense to both of them. They're both very handsome men, and they've taken care of themselves well, but...
Listen, they're very handsome men.
They look their age. You guys, calm down. They look like older gentlemen, okay?
I think it's more like people... You know how the meme for so many years was Patrick Stewart has always looked like a 60-year-old dude? But if you look at Patrick now, he is like... Basically, a decrepit little mummy person.
Well, yeah, he and
he's not looking good.
He and Ian McKellen, yes, look their age for sure. Mm-hmm. They are not to draw the comparison, but they are both wizened old men. They are truly hermits on the mount. Lovable guys, but they're showing their age for sure. Araki, on the other hand, truly is seemingly bulletproof. I don't know what's happening there.
I mean, I know what's happening, and it's probably starts with a nip and ends with a tuck, if you know what I mean. I'm not trying to be some kind of Hollywood gossip rag here. That's not what I'm trying to say.
Sure,
I'm just saying
that,
you know, to look that good at that age, with that lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Wow, you need a little professional help.
Look, I don't...
A little touch from the fairy godmother's wand, if you know what I mean.
This libel. This horrible libel. Man. Wow, okay. You got me sweating pretty hard. Let's take a break real quick. Right, back from this very genuine and naturalistic break intro, we're going right back into it, people. Well, you know what? Speaking of Hollywood, why don't we use that as our transition? Because something happened in Hollywood as a painful echo of something that happened in the anime world recently. Or should it be the reverse? I mean, I guess what is way more important nationally than the other one?
I mean, statistically, the Crunchyroll Awards definitely had more viewers than the Oscars.
You think so?
I think so. Oh, I think so. I think it had more viewers just out of spite than the Oscars.
I'm not going to look it up.
No, I'm going to assert my dominance in being right, and I'm not going to look it up.
Yeah, either one would make me very sad to see the numbers. But... weirdly enough, the fucking Crunchyroll branded anime awards, which is much like Jeff Keighley's video game awards in that it is just straight complete bullshit marketing event.
I don't know. I kind of like these award shows. Not the Oscars. The Oscars fucking suck. But these, like, obviously industry niche award shows that are just dick-sucking competitions, like the Game Awards, like the Crunchyroll Awards, and like the Golden Globes, I'll say it.
Guy's taking a stand against the Golden Globes.
I kind of like them just because they're fucking... They're funny in how
so nakedly cynical
they are trying to be about them. Yeah.
Just so absolutely dead-eyed, soulless fucking advertisement machines that they are. Just delivery devices, like the fucking like rat pellet dispenser in the little cage that you live in.
I get this image of like zoo-goers, right? Looking at an exhibit and just like, oh, look, they're trying to be culture.
Oh, God, that's absurd. You know, the thing about the zoo is that you observe the animals, but they are also observing you, and they don't like what they see.
Well, you know that Nietzsche quote and all that. If you look too long at the zoo, you become the zoo or something.
The zoo,
I don't know.
The zoo will also capture and enslave you.
Yeah. Yes.
putting the naked cynical aspect aside, these two have both reached ahead and are somehow still culturally relevant. I don't know why every single year we all kind of get together and bitch about how they don't mean anything and they're all rigged and they're all bullshit, but another year passes and we all care about them again for some reason, and the cycle just continues on and on.
I mean, this is, you know, we've talked about the conceptual basis of the anime death spiral. That's just the wider extension of that, right? It's the cultural death spiral that's consuming us all. We're caught in the gravity well.
Yes, we are.
That's what the Oscars are, at least for movie people, right? It's an air of legitimacy. It's a bit of pomp and circumstance to get everybody excited about the fact that movies exist.
Sure.
But they don't mean anything. Bitching about the Oscars is part of the appeal of the Oscars at this point.
That is true.
You know,
that is
true. The pre-shows do it themselves. They're in on it.
Yes. And, you know, at one point in time, I think that the Razzies were set up as sort of a counter-programming thing, though I never liked the Razzies. I think that's really stupid.
It seemed a little bit mean-spirited.
I don't even care about the mean-spirited part. I don't mind being mean to rich people, but but they were not funny or interesting in any way. They were always lowest common denominator, so I always thought that they're stupid.
Not funny is the worst thing you can be.
Especially if you are supposed to be parodying other awards shows. I think the anime thing compared to the Oscars is a little different because at least with film, right, and television to a lesser extent, you have options. If you want to shop around for other shows, there's the Screen Actors Guild Award, right? The SAG Awards. Mm-hmm. There's the BAFTAs. Obviously, you know, Japan itself has an Academy Awards, you know, for their own films. Actually, I saw recently that Godzilla Minus One swept, basically.
Good for them.
Which seems cool. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. So you can get other stuff. There are other things available to you. Unfortunately, when I googled anime awards earlier, Crunchyroll was literally the only thing outside of like truly god awful like forum awards like Reddit or whatever.
My anime list like threads don't count.
Yes. No.
Vote threads don't count.
I'm sorry, you guys. Come on. Seriously. You're better than Jeff Keighley, but you're still not good.
So what you're saying is that the Crunchyroll Anime Awards is basically the Oscars of anime.
Unfortunately, just by the transitive properly alone, we just have to go with that. And in that regard, I kind of wanted to do a rundown of them. I thought this would be a more interesting way to look at these awards. Because frankly, the awards, not to spoil anything, but the awards themselves are not particularly interesting. They're about, as you'd expect, guess who spent the most on their marketing budget is pretty much how you determine these.
That's the
industry.
But
I kind of wanted to go down. Yeah, it's the industry. I want to go down by category and kind of look at compare the legitimacy of the Oscars to the legitimacy of the Crunchyroll Awards, which I think might be eye-opening.
Okay. Well, do we start from the top or work up to the big awards like the Oscars does?
Let's start from the top and work our way down simply for laziness's sake.
Fair enough.
I don't think either of these award shows deserve effort, so let's just do it like that. So let's see. I will read the Oscars category and winner, and then you read the equivalent anime one. How does that sound?
All right, sure.
All right, so first up, for some reason, the Oscars always seems to put so much importance on the leading actor Oscar, even more so than, you know, director or cinematographer, which you would think, well, I mean, they made the movie, but apparently they're not as important as lead actor. At the Oscars, who did we have this year? Let's see. We got Jeffrey Wright from American Fiction, Paul Giamatti from The Holdovers, Colman Domingo from Rustin, which I have not even heard of. What is Rustin? Bradley Cooper for Maestro, which maybe is one of the worst performances I've ever seen. And, of course, the winner was Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, which, you know, frankly, sure. I don't hate it, I guess, but, you know, whatever. Sure. I like Cillian Murphy. I think he's great.
So I did not see Oppenheimer.
Yeah, you didn't see Oppenheimer. Did you see any of these movies?
I saw Barbie. I flipped a coin and landed on pink instead of nuclear.
Wow. And Ryan Gosling conspicuously absent from this this nomination list.
Yeah. Do you think he was pissed? Like, I got up here and did the song and everything.
Well, maybe he was. Oh, you know what? He's down here in supporting roles, which okay. So
actually,
right,
that makes sense.
That makes sense. So I'm glad he got that, at least.
Well, but did not see Maestro. Have no idea what Rustin is.
No idea.
No idea what The Holdovers is. I don't know. I just don't have much weight in that category, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I love Paul Giamatti. I love Jeffrey Wright. I think they're both great. I'm less in love with Bradley Cooper, and I do not know who Colman Domingo is. So, I mean, I think this is overall... essentially correct. Cillian Murphy, out of these people, I think that's correct. I think they got that one right.
I mean, I think that he's a handsome person, so I'm glad that he won.
He is handsome. Also, Ireland needs a win, man. They needed it. Okay. What about in anime?
Well, okay. So the closest category that I guess would be an equivalent to best actor, would that be best character design?
So I'm looking at this list, and obviously I think the literalist would go to voice actor performance, but we don't really know or care about that.
Investigation, character design, it does specify it's not by series, it's character designer. I don't know why they didn't label it as that.
Yes.
But it has specific character designers as the nominees.
Yes. It's hard because this anime list, the categories are so goofy and stupid. Again, much like the video game awards, just mm-hmm. the dumbest, most brain-dead shit they've chosen. In our case, I think the equivalent is best main character.
Oh, you're right. I see it all the way down here. All right.
Yeah.
So best main character in an anime for 2024. Nominees
for
were...
2024. Yeah. Crunchyroll Awards. Best main character. Do we have the nominees
or is it just the
winner?
We have all the nominees here. We have Thorfinn from Vinland Saga.
Love that guy.
We have Eren Jaeger from Attack on Titan.
I hate that guy.
We have Shigeo Kageyama, Mobu from Mob Psycho.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Shigeo. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like that guy.
Hitori Goto from Bocchi the Rock.
Don't. I have no opinion.
I liked her. I liked her just fine.
Okay.
She can play guitar better than me. Denji from Chainsaw Man. I like him.
I like that guy. Mm-hmm. He's all right.
It's
garbage.
Monkey D. Luffy from One Piece.
Our stretchy man. Our lovable stretchy man.
Now, it may come as no surprise to you that the Titan of the cultural anime world came in first. The award did go to Monkey D. Luffy from One Piece.
Yes.
Obvious win. Some may say rigged, even. I don't know. I'm not saying that, but it's interesting that among so much new and fresh and inspiring talent that he was up against, that he still came out on top after a 25-year career, you know, where much younger men would have retired at this point. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I disagree. I think I disagree with this assessment.
I think Luffy does not need...
He doesn't need the win.
...to be on this list. I don't think he needs the win. I don't think he's hard up for the win. And also, man, talk about a legacy pick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What is happening here? I thought this was for 2024.
If I was handing out awards, it would go to either Bochy or Shigeo. Because they need the confidence. They need the confidence boost.
Sure. I think Bochy, honestly, Bochy or Denji as the two newest additions to the list, right? They're both season ones, mm-hmm. like from the last year,
mm-hmm.
Seem to be better fits, but for whatever reason, I guess they just went with the legacy pick. What would be really interesting is if... I realize now you won't get this joke, but for the rest of you, what if Luffy had refused to show up Brando style and he sent Koala in his place to talk about leading the revolution against the One World Government? And she got booed and pulled off stage. See, why am I not writing these? Fuck.
Now, before we move on, I just want to say I am, like, kind of appalled to see Eren Yeager on this list, right? Because it's like announcing that, I don't know, Pol Pot is one of the nominees.
Jesus Christ.
The man is objectively a genocidal maniac.
Yes, I wonder what the criteria were, right? Like, who were the Academy voters?
This is an appeasement nomination for the fascist party.
Yes, the conservatives really needed a nod. Okay, so moving on, we've got actor in a supporting role. Always a weird choice because, like, what does supporting even mean in most cases? You know, this is such a subjective category every year. But let's see what they think. We've got Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things, which I am very much looking forward to seeing. I do like Mark Ruffalo a lot.
That's on my list as well.
We've got, as we mentioned, Ryan Gosling from Barbie, which is, that's good. Good booking.
He's just Ken.
Yeah, he's just Ken. Robert De Niro from Killers of the Flower Moon, which honestly, I am stunned, first of all, to see Robert De Niro on this list. Again, another, much like Luffy, another legacy pick that
I
think...
this is an industry nod. Nobody expects him to really win that award.
And also, all the supporting actors in Killers of the Flower Moon, you went with De Niro? Holy shit, man.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's this is not a serious nomination. This is the Academy jerking themselves off.
This is not a serious choice. And then Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction. Again, I haven't seen that movie, so who knows? Sterling might maybe great, maybe awful. But the winner was, in fact, Robert Downey Jr. from Oppenheimer. And this is purely because Oppenheimer is Oppenheimer. Because Robert Downey Jr.'s performance is hilariously awful in this movie. People are talking about the Robert Sans happening now that he's out of the Iron Man role. But Oppenheimer should have made it clear the man does not know what the fuck he is doing. He's by far the worst part of that movie. By far. If that movie was truly a masterpiece, they would have excised every single scene he's in. They would have cut him out of the fucking movie. And I like Oppenheimer. So this is a huge whiff. I'm saying huge whiff.
All right. Well, I guess I didn't see most of these movies. Ryan Gosling, I liked his performance. I don't know if it was Oscar worthy for whatever that means.
I'm but, going with Ryan because I love, I'm a Gosling head.
I'd have to go with Ryan because I did see Barbie, or I don't know, Mark Ruffalo, just because I like the young rough buff.
I like Ruffalo for sure. For sure, but I'm a bigger Gosling head, so that's my choice.
Where did all the Ruffalo go? That's what I want to know.
If, like Downey, it went into Marvel Machine. It went into the Marvel Machine, and he got plucked and spit out the other side naked.
So luckily for us, there is a more equivalent category from the Crunchyroll side.
Yes.
There is a category for best supporting character.
Yes.
And the nominees were, let's see here. We've got Power from Chainsaw Man. Everybody loves Power.
Like her. Love Power.
We've got...
She's great. Don't like how sexualized she's been. I think that misses the point of the character.
Yeah, yeah, but, definitely. You know,
sure, why not? Yeah, people like anime girls. I get it. Whatever.
Well, I mean, they set it up with introducing her fully naked the first time we see her, right?
Yeah, but she's filthy. She's disgusting.
That's what I'm
she's
saying.
Covered in mud and shit.
Well, media literacy. Let's not get into that.
And of course, the whole thing about like squeezing her boob being extremely unfulfilling for Denji just seems to have soared over people's heads as well. but whatever. Keep going.
Chainsaw go burr.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got Kana Arima from Oshinoko.
Wow.
Which I can't even remember which one was Kana.
Kana is the weird, like, spoiled girl.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right.
I'm pretty sure. Yes. She's the spoiled child actor that comes back, into their life when they go to like, Hollywood acting school.
Right. Didn't like
Hollywood upstairs acting school.
Did not like her. Did not like Oshinoko. I thought it was weird and people who like it are creepy.
I am completely ambivalent about Kana Arima.
We've got Hang Zoe from Attack on Titan. No idea who that is.
Jesus Christ.
I do not watch that show or read that.
Do not care. Do
read
not
that
care.
Rag, because that's what it is.
Oh man. Okay, keep going.
Suguru Geto from Jujutsu Kaisen.
Of course.
Like that guy.
Yes, of course. He's cool.
And alongside him, Satoru Gojo, also coming in for supporting actor or supporting
also
character.
Like that guy. He's also cool.
And finally, Arataka Reigen from Mob Psycho, which really love that guy.
That guy's great. What a great character.
Mhm. Winner was the white-haired anime Jesus, Satoru Gojo, with the round glasses.
Satoru
Gojo.
Unlike the Downey Jr. pick, I think this is essentially fine. I think he has he has very much like impacted the culture. I see the fucking Gojo stickers on everybody's car every time I leave my fucking house. He is out in these streets. So I don't, unlike maybe some of these choices, I do think this is a more naturalistic pick, though I do think that would not be my pick, I think.
Okay, so let me, because it would not be my pick as well, and this is my reasoning. Satoru Gojo basically can be reduced down to a bit, right? The bit is that he's incredibly arrogant and he has the power to back it up. He's the One Punch Man equivalent joke for Jujutsu Kaisen until he's not much later on. But
you know, I'm not sure I completely agree there, but I know what you mean. I think that is
my character impression of Satoru Gojo.
Sure.
Until he gets either, you know, locked up or otherwise. When he's out in full force, like his only limitation is that he can't be in two places at once, basically.
I think the main thing I disagree with the Gojo pick is that he is a mentor and Reigen is also a mentor. But unlike Gojo, like Reigen actually does mentoring. Like he is legitimately empathetic and he enlightens both the reader and Mob. I think he's like genuinely affectionate and interesting character. Whereas I like Gojo, but he is clearly not three-dimensional in the way that Reagan is. Reagan 100%.
That's basically what I was trying to get at, was that I don't like the Gojo pick because he is essentially an all-powerful, like, less-than-empathetic character, whereas Reagan is a completely mortal man whose only defining characteristic is that, at the end of the day, he really does care about Mob quite a bit. And I like that much. I find that much more endearing.
I find him to be a much more interesting character, for sure. That Reagan, so I think, is the winner there.
They did wrong. They did my boy Reagan wrong.
Yeah.
In this one.
So they fucked up, but not as bad as the Oscars.
This is the only time that I can say that I would have voted for Reagan.
So I guess we're one for one so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's move on here. We've got actress in a leading role. Carey Mulligan in Maestro, which is big whiff. Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, which is weird because I thought that was a TV show. Yeah, obviously didn't watch it. Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon, which is probably the only pick that, like, really actually should have been made here. Annette Bening, not to spoil it, Annette Bening for Naiad. I love Annette Bening, but I do not know what Naiad is. And the winner is Emma Stone for Poor Things, which, again, I'm looking forward to seeing that. And I think Emma Stone is mostly fine. But I think just in terms of the culture and politics, not the right choice here.
Probably not. I have nothing to add to that, again, because I haven't seen any of the movies nominated in that category.
I think just even without seeing it, I think Lily Gladstone's win for Killers of the Flower Moon would have been a cultural, like, a positive force for the culture.
Sure.
Not saying that, you know, at the very least, it would have legitimized the Oscars a little bit more. But this is kind of an embarrassment. This is an embarrassment to the Oscars, this choice.
Now, over here on the Crunchyroll side, we are unfortunately running into the first bump here in our comparisons because unfortunately there is no direct equivalent for best leading actress. That I think would apply, and
can I do it?
I feel gross saying it.
Yeah, you don't want to say it. So what I'm gonna do is I'm sorry, we're gonna cash in a couple of our feminism tokens.
We are good feminists, please believe us.
We are gonna say the actress in a leading role equivalent is best romance.
Oh, that's what you were gonna do?
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay. That's less gross than what I was gonna do.
Okay, well then I just saved your ass.
All right. I was gonna do the must protect at all costs character.
Wow. I mean, we could still do that, or we'll save it for the actress in a supporting role.
Sure,
how about that?
Sure.
Okay. So, you know what? My reasoning is simply this: romance is shoujo. Shoujo means girl. Right.
That is,
come on,
absolutely rock solid logic that I can't defy.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
So they're giving it to Hori Mia, The Missing Pieces, which is totally bizarre. Actually, do you have the nominees there?
Yeah,
I do have the nominees.
So thanks for stepping all over the reveal of the nomination.
Spoilers. I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot for that. Nominees for best romance anime were My Love Story with Yamada at level 999.
Wow.
I remember I watched the first episode of that. It was not great.
Yeah.
We have Tomo-chan is a Girl, which I like that one, actually. I liked it. I think that deserves to be here.
I didn't hate it, but also that weird time skip thing is so bizarre to me.
Yeah, that was a weird...
What the hell? What the fuck was that about?
Well, you know, there's a lot lost in translation because the episodes are based off of, like, Four Coma style, like, comics.
Yeah, but also just on an emotional level, hey, if somebody ignores me for a year, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Straight up, fuck you.
Yeah, if someone did that, ignored them for like 1 or 2 years, definitely fuck that person. That would be really, really bad of them.
That would really suck.
That would be really hurtful to them and all the people in their life, wouldn't it?
it would really suck. It would really suck for that person.
God damn. Other nominees were
give me the rest.
Were Skip and Loafer. I liked it. I thought it was great. Horimiya, which was the winner, and My Happy Marriage, which is a Netflix original that I have no idea about.
My Happy Marriage. Wow. What was Skip and Loafer? Can you remind me?
Skip and Loafer was just kind of like a cozy style slice of life romance about an uptight country girl who moves to Tokyo to go to a prestigious prep high school.
Oh,
and she
yes.
falls for like the class dropout, basically.
Right. The child actor, right?
Yeah, but he's not like a bad boy. He just like doesn't like going to school.
I mean, who does?
No, school sucks.
Yeah, school sucks.
And I liked it.
Yeah, in that regard, I think Horimiya, what's weird about this for me is that Horimiya, the missing pieces, as the name implies, is basically DLC for Horimiya. This is just like incidental parts of the manga that they didn't include in the original.
Oh, so
anime.
They're doing like a Twilight, you know, Altered Dawn or whatever that was, where it was told from the vampire's perspective. Or is this just an extra? Is this just an extra arc?
It's just
because it would be cool if it was the same like story told from a different character's perspective. I thought that's what you were getting at.
There are, I think, part of the things that they cut in the anime to streamline it were some of the, like the side characters' romances, because there are multiple romances in the comic, right? Obviously. And they streamlined it for the anime again, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I think there are a couple of like other character pieces that get worked in there, but it is essentially just DLC. It's just filling in gaps. Uh-huh. This is like stuff they would put in the director's cut of the DVD. So this is
so
really weird.
I take it by that description that you don't really think it should have gotten the win.
I don't think like bonus features on the DVD should be able to win Oscars. No, I think that's weird. I think that's fucking weird.
Except for maybe the Hearts of Darkness.
I mean, Hearts of Darkness. except for the maybe the making of Lord of the Rings, because that was straight up a documentary about filmmaking. Yeah, I think this is a weird choice.
I personally probably would have gone with Skip and Loafer. Just because it had a more unique anime style, used a lot of pastels and sketchy lines. I like
sure.
that a lot.
Yeah, so kind of both, with two whiffs in this category, but I think Anime Awards comes out on top here. So two for one, mm-hmm. anime leads.
Heyo.
Let's do actress in a supporting role.
Okay.
Now we've got Jodie Foster in Naiad. She's fresh off that, let's say, contentious season of True Detective. I love Jodie Foster, though. America Ferrara from Barbie, which is, I don't know, she was fine. Danielle Brooks from The Color Purple, that remake of The Color Purple, by the way. Did you even
know
about that?
It's a musical remake. Were you aware of that?
I was not aware of the musical part. No, that is crazy.
Yeah, the new one's a musical.
That is so weird.
Based off the Broadway show.
Man, that is fucking weird. The Emily Blunt from Oppenheimer, which she gives a very flat performance, I have to say. I'm not a huge fan of that. And Daveen Joy Randolph from The Holdovers, which, again, I haven't seen it, so maybe she's great, maybe she isn't, but this does feel like throwing a bone to The Holdovers, which has lost all the other categories it was nominated for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, Remy, that they made a mistake. That's not who I think it should have gone to. Obviously, I always vote for America, no matter what. And so the award should have gone to America Ferrera for Barbie.
Yeah, it doesn't say foreign actress, does it? America. All right. So what? Let's go with your disgusting equivalent.
I'm still reeling that they have this as a category. The category is
fundamentally unserious people.
Yes. We'll say it over and over again.
Yes. just truly awful.
This category, this award is for character that is must protect at all costs.
Which you knew they called it best girl to begin with, but realized that, like, even in the Crunchyroll awards, they couldn't get away with that.
I think they reworded it because it is not only girl nominees. And now, does that disqualify it from being the equivalent of best supporting actress?
No, I think we all know what was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to switch out half of these for at least something that's not a girl. Nominees are, of course, Miri Unasaka, which is the Anya knockoff from the Spy Family knockoff Buddy Daddies.
Buddy Daddies, yes.
We have Suleta Mercury, who is the eponymous witch from Mercury, right?
Yes, who does not need protecting, so she's already disqualified. I mean, yeah, she literally has a giant mech.
She has a giant death robot that she kills people with, right?
She fucking kills people. She straight up squishes a guy.
We've got Hitori Goto from Bocchi the Rock.
Done. Okay.
Yeah, I get. Why people would say this. It kind of goes against the message of the comic that embracing your crippling social anxiety is a bad thing, but we've got Pochita from Chainsaw Man. Hey, where's Poochie? What's he doing right now? Why aren't these people talking about Pochita?
Pochita is dead, dude. I'd hate to break it to you, but that motherfucker is, like, very much dead.
Well, he lives on as Denji's heart. Is the canonical answer.
Yeah,
but
sort of like my dinner from last night lives on as my gut bacteria.
We've got Boji from Ranking of Kings.
Oh, wow. Ooh, great choice.
Yeah, did not. That's actually one of the ones that I haven't seen in some capacity from this list.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Yeah?
So good. Worth going back for.
Okay. And we've got Anya Forger from the not Spy Family knockoff Spy Family.
Yes, it speaks for itself, essentially.
Mm-hmm. It speaks for itself so loudly that I don't even need to announce the winner, because it's Anya.
It's obviously Anya. Spy Family beats Boji out, obviously, through marketing budget alone.
If it's a battle of short, pink-haired characters, Anya still comes out, because well, Boji can play the guitar really well. Anya can read minds, and I feel like that wins in a fight.
Yeah. Also, Anya doesn't have social anxiety.
No. No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
She has what's the opposite of social anxiety? Just, like, being a regular person?
Unbound confidence.
Yeah. Anya has unbound confidence most of the time.
Yeah, and also she literally does need protecting at all costs, because shadowy government agencies, like, want to kidnap her.
They are literally trying to kill her.
Yeah, she's constantly, like, in actual mortal peril. I haven't seen Bocchi the Rock. Does the stage ever, like, collapse or something?
No. Actually, nothing bad ever really happens.
Yeah, so that kind of makes sense. Now, I'm going with Boji just because, obviously, I love Anya. I love Spy Family. I love Anya. But Boji is such a unique character in the width and breadth of anime just to begin with, and he is kind of the opposite of Anya in that he is a disabled character. He is deaf, so that adds a really interesting dimension to him. Also, you know, and in the kind of the idea of must protect at all costs, kind of subverting that in that he is a character who is very vulnerable, but uses that vulnerability to, like, conquer and win the hearts of those around him. He's a really interesting character. And also, Spy Family Season 1, Core 2, as it's listed here. I hate the use of core as a designation. I hate it. Fuck that.
You don't like the, they're just trying to be Kino about it.
Just call it Season 2. You're not tricking anyone. I know it's purely for financial reasons because of contractual language. I know this only exists because you are ripping the people off who make the anime. So fuck that. But fine. It's like, it's whatever.
All right, why don't we do...
I like Anya more than Devine Joy Randolph, so...
Well, can't argue with that.
Yeah, we're going to skip animated feature film because it's too obvious. And also, it's like The Boy and the Heron one.
Yeah.
Robbed Spider-Man, by the way. But we don't have to get into it. Yeah, let's do the big one then.
All right.
Let's do directing.
Okay.
That's the big one, right?
What? No, picture of the year is the big one.
Okay, all right. I argue that it's directing, but fine. I get it. Because it's the guy who made the fucking thing. But okay, whatever. I concede. Best picture. Now, the thing is, these are basically the same. These all stacked up to be the same thing anyway. So
yeah,
it won't be much of a surprise. Best picture at the Academy Awards 2024. Nothing is surprising here, but Zone of Interest. They list the producer for some reason, but that was Jonathan Glazer, directed Zone of Interest. He gave a very controversial speech this year, which I applaud him for. Just a side note. Poor Things by Yorgos Lanthimos, who is incredible. One of my favorite directors. Past Lives, which I don't know anything about. Maestro, which fucking sucked so goddamn hard. And Spielberg was attached, by the way. I think that's a fun note.
Really?
Yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon, Scorsese's massive self-indulgent project, which has a lot of cultural importance, but a lot of controversy as well. The Holdovers, which we both mentioned, we don't know anything about. Barbie, Greta Gerwig's picture, which was fun, but ultimately also controversial for different reasons. Anatomy of a Fall, which neither of us saw. American Fiction, which neither of us saw. And Oppenheimer by Christopher Nolan. And guess what? You'll never believe this. Oppenheimer wins. Wow. 4-hour movie wins Best Picture.
I'm not commenting on the quality of film that Oppenheimer is, because I haven't seen it, but I do personally think that Christopher Nolan is a hack, and I disagree with any adulation that he gets.
Yes. Now, this is, of course, your virulent contrarian strain raising its head from the murky depths. Pure contrarianism.
Sometimes you just got to let it out, man. Sometimes it bubbles
Sometimes
over.
Sometimes you just got to go. I get it. You got to let it go. This is the right show for it. I do not agree at all, but I understand why you would say that. I think Oppenheimer is a very good movie. I think it is very good. If they cut out Robert Downey Jr. completely, if they excised the tumor that is Robert Downey Jr. from that movie, I would say it's almost truly great. I really, really liked Oppenheimer. I don't think this is a bad choice on this list. I do think it's interesting that we are talking about the Anime Awards and Oppenheimer is the movie where we drop the bomb. I don't know what to make of that.
Well,
I'm
you know,
not sure
a lot
where...
of people, a lot of people are talking about the significance of a Godzilla movie winning an Oscar at the same award as Oppenheimer. Like that's
yes,
be...
at the same time.
Yeah.
In Japan, Godzilla wins. In America, Oppenheimer wins.
Well, Godzilla Minus One, it won Best Special Effects at the Academy Awards.
Yeah,
it got an American Oscar.
Yeah, I think Oppenheimer opened too late for it to be in contention over there, but it is an interesting. It certainly is interesting to yeah. think about. I'm not sure what I make of it. I will say one of the most chilling things that has ever happened to me in a theater is when they are discussing which targets to bomb. And, you know, Oppenheimer is in the room. Mm-hmm. He is very deeply uncomfortable with this because his whole pitch from the military, of course, if you remember your history, was that he was building his moral justification was that he was building the bomb as a deterrent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he is brought into the room purely ornamentally when they're discussing which targets in Japan to bomb. And very pointedly, the general makes a joke about how he doesn't want to bomb Osaka because that's where he went for his honeymoon.
Ugh.
And the audience I was sitting with laughed at that joke. And it was... one of the sickest I've ever felt in a movie. And that's not the movie. I'm not saying that's a bad thing about the movie. I think that is what you are supposed to feel in that moment. You are supposed to feel waves of like sickness and dread. But the fact that the American audience laughed at that, and maybe out of nervousness, right? Because it mm-hmm. is a release of tension in that moment. I don't blame people for that, but it truly was one of the most dreadful things that has ever happened to me in a theater. So that's my Oppenheimer story. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, oddly enough, I had the same kind of reaction watching Jujutsu Kaisen season 2.
Yeah. This is, you're going to anime of the year, right?
Yes. Which, you know, spoilers, just like Oppenheimer swept the Oscars, Jujutsu Kaisen season 2 swept the Crunchies, is what I'm calling them now. Affectionately, I'm going to refer to them as the Crunchies.
What's their little mascot girl? What's her name?
Is it not Crunchy-chan?
Is it Crunchy-hime, I think?
Crunchy-hime? That sounds right.
Oh, God, that's so bad. Yeah. Holy shit, that sucks so fucking bad. Her name is Crunchyroll-hime. Fuck you. Fuck you, Crunchyroll. Fuck you.
So these are the Crunchies nominees for anime of the year. We've got Vinland Saga season 2.
Great.
Chainsaw Man.
Mm-hmm.
Oshinoko. Cool. Bocchi the Rock.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Kimetsu no Yaiba, also known as Demon Slayer.
Right.
And Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yep.
Obviously, gotcha. Jujutsu Kaisen swept through, got the award. I don't think that any of these anime deserve to even be on the nominee list.
Well, considering some of the snubs, it is a little egregious. Though I will say, I really appreciate Vinland Saga being on here because it was one of the most controversial season 2s of like any anime ever. Because Vinland Saga, you're not really familiar with Vinland Saga, are you?
It's about white people shit, right?
Sort of, yeah. Well, until recently when it became not about white people shit at all, which is also an interesting thing. I will note, Vinland Saga season 1 is about Thorfinn, our boy Thorfinn, seeking revenge. And it is a long and protracted revenge story that takes a lot of twists and turns. And it's full of violence and action and pathos.
Gotta have your pathos.
And a lot of philosophizing. And it's really interesting and great. And then in season 2, the second quote-unquote arc, I will say, of Vinland Saga, it takes a massive turn. For reasons I won't get into, Thorfinn loses his will to live, his purpose in life.
Been there.
And becomes a slave and basically works like an automaton in the fields for a while, doing no violence, no revenge shit, no action. It's a kind of a slow and somber look at power dynamics and slavery and what it means to live for something and what it means to have relationships even in the worst circumstances. It is a very interesting and philosophical look at a lots of kind of less comfortable aspects of life. And people fucking hated it. They wanted action Thorfinn. They wanted kill Thorfinn. They wanted dual wielding daggers Thorfinn. They wanted backflip awesome action man Thorfinn. And what they got was essentially like Ingmar Bergman's anime.
You know, this may be a bit of a stretch, but this reminds me of the reaction I remember personally having, because I saw it when I was a shitty, you know, 15-year-old, but
little baby brain.
Essentially the difference between Ghost in the Shell and Ghost in the Shell 2. Do you remember that?
yes I do.
I don't think it's entirely comparable, but it's in the same vein where it's like, wait, what happened to the sexy robot girl shooting guns and going invisible?
Yeah.
Why is this a slow, drawn out like contemplation on the nuance of what is considered humanity? That's all the stuff that I ignored from the first one.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
And I don't know. I mean, that sounds good. Again, I haven't read or watched any of Vinland Saga.
It is very good.
I like Chainsaw Man quite a bit. I don't think the anime deserves to be anime of the year or nominated for it for that measure. That's kind of feels like it's riding on the coattails of the success of just the manga being a good story.
You know, I think it has some really great animation. And there are some really interesting new animation techniques that were interesting about that season of Chainsaw Man?
It has high points and it has low points.
Yes, and those techniques were also transferred into Jujutsu Kaisen, which is an interesting thing too, right? So obviously Jujutsu Kaisen looked fucking great. At the expense of, you know, human life, but, yeah. Whatever.
Literally fueled by blood and suffering.
Yes. Death for the death machine. But, yes, I would say the snubs are pretty fucking loud. Obviously, one of them would be Tengoku Daimachio.
I was about to say, that's the one that is glaringly missing from this list for me.
Yes.
Is Tengoku Daimachio.
That would be one for me. The big one for me is Pluto.
Uh-huh, definitely.
Which was fucking incredible. But apparently I'm the only one who watched it, so fuck me, right?
Yeah. Hey, fuck you.
Hey, fuck me, right? Pluto, this was, if in a world where, like, these awards shows actually made sense and they weren't determined by the marketing budget of the shows, Pluto would be the obvious pick. No question in my mind.
No two hands down about it.
I mean, I could go and look at the list of anime, the list of 2023 anime, right?
Yeah, and I am looking at it right now, and I'm not seeing a whole lot, but yeah, Pluto definitely should have been on there.
I can't even believe it. You know, the idea that it's not even on there is fucking wild. But because I really don't think there is a single thing that holds a candle to it. You know, even though I absolutely adore Tengoku Daimachio, you know, I didn't watch that remake of Tezuka's Phoenix, which is supposed to be really good. So maybe that. I also know that Fire Hunter was, I watched only a few episodes of that, but I really thought that looked great and was really cool. Most of the other stuff is either just more of the same or kind of like really bad ripoff shit, you know, like Buddy Daddies, obviously.
Yeah.
There was more Naruto this year. There was more Demon Slayer this year. There was more Bleach this year. There was more sports anime this year, which is obvious for us. Like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
There was that Junji Ito thing that was really disappointing. There was Trigun, which we both fucking shit all over. Because
I'd like to take a step back. I rather enjoyed that Junji Ito collection that came out last year.
You like that one?
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
I think a lot of people were really disappointed by that because the animation, like, you know, it wasn't worthy of the stories.
Junji Ito adaptations do not have a great track record and they're far between. So you have to take what you can get.
If
you compare this to the last attempt at a Junji Ito animation that they released, it is leagues ahead in terms of quality. So I was taking that comparatively as a win. That's all I'm saying.
You know what I think is interesting? Well, here's what I would say about that is that, you know, the trailer for the new Uzumaki anime dropped and that looked fucking great.
Oh.
The animation in that looks like what people expect from Junji Ito. And I think the fact that it is in black and white, something that I have been talking about forever now, that anime can be black and white.
It's a huge part of the aesthetic of what makes his comics.
It's beautiful,
creepy.
And I think more anime need to do it in general. I think black and white is great. It's got a bad rap because of, you know, people's associations with the breakthrough of color in film. But I love black and white. I think it's great. And I think the way that Uzumaki looks in black and white is, like you say, fantastic. And the animation shows that they actually care. They really care. And I think that really overshadows this collection.
All right. Oh, go ahead.
So basically, Oscars wins this one. Oppenheimer is a staggering work.
Yeah, I agree. Jujutsu Kaisen is too,
but like not even close to Pluto or Tengoku Daimachio. So I think the Oscars takes this one.
I'll frame it this way. Oppenheimer deserved to win that much more than Jujutsu Kaisen deserved to win this.
Yes.
I think that's a good way to put it.
100% agree there. So what did that tally bring us to? I think basically 3 for 2 for anime.
3 for 2 for anime.
Wow. I can't believe Crunchyroll has more legitimacy than the fucking Academy Awards. That's the era we live in.
Well, we all had an inkling of an idea that might be the
case. Jesus Christ. Awful. Makes me very sad.
At least the people voting for the anime awards have seen the things that they're voting on.
Is that, but we don't even know. Like, who voted for this shit?
Well, the Academy. The Anime Academy.
I personally know one Academy voter. So I'm one ahead of the Academy, the Crunchyroll Academy voters in that regard. I also know that the one person I know doesn't care about voting, so they don't really care. So I don't know. What a shit show, just all around. Awards, they still suck.
They really
wow.
do.
I can't believe we took that so seriously.
All right, have we taken these down enough?
I think we've taken these down enough. Well, you guys, I hope you enjoyed the Crunchyroll Anime Awards, brought to you by Crunchyroll, the premier anime streaming service. Now, Crunchyroll, of course, is offering unlimited anime streaming for just $15.99 a month.
What? No, no, no. We are not getting paid for that. Don't put that in there.
There is a premium 14-day trial. You can try out their great service.
They're not gonna retroactively give you a check for this, you know.
They've got anime like Mob Psycho, Chainsaw Man, Academy Award winner Jujutsu Kaisen, streaming now.
His big pick me energy.
In fact, everything that we mentioned in their awards is coincidentally streaming on Crunchyroll. Can you believe that? Yeah, some of these snubs seem to make more sense when you put it like that. Interesting.
Uh-huh,
wow.
Uh-huh.
What a great streaming service. I really appreciate you, Crunchyroll. And I didn't cancel my my subscription earlier in this year because I love the service so much. It's really great. I'm really glad.
I really like paying for things.
I really like paying for anime in the worst fucking way possible and getting the shittiest service. I really enjoy it and like it a lot. Thank you, Crunchyroll. Thank you for the awards.
Thank you.
And hopefully next year, Jeff Keighley gets involved so that we can have Hideo Kojima presenting an award. I guess shout out to Megan Thee Stallion, Meg, looking fucking great, blowing Japanese
best
minds.
Best dressed goddamn person there.
Blowing these poor Japanese men's minds.
Do you think Megan Thee Stallion got to meet Araki? Do you think?
Why would she want to do that?
She's obviously a JoJo fan, right? She did two separate cosplays. She's got to be a JoJo fan.
I mean, everyone is a JoJo fan. Everyone loves JoJo.
All in the Jo family.
Yeah. Now, of course, Araki is doing collabs with Louis Vuitton and like Gucci and stuff. So, you know, their worlds probably have overlapped previously. So who knows? Maybe the reason she was doing JoJo cosplay is because she's met Araki already. We don't know.
I hope that she gets to be in the next JoJo arc. That's all I hope.
I don't really understand what you mean by that.
I want Megan Thee Stallion mentioned? To be in it.
Like, Billie Eilish got a shout-out. Sia got a shout-out in the new arc. Is that what you mean?
No, I want Megan Thee Stallion, the person, to be in JoJo, the comic.
Just really don't understand. Anyway, shout-out to Meg, who is by far the best part of these entire Crunchyroll ads, and I'm sure is suffering for her participation from absolutely awful anime fans worldwide. I'm so sorry, Meg. I wish you the best. I really hope.
We thank you for your sacrifice.
Yeah, you're doing good. The people who call her a fake anime fan are insane because literally, why would you suffer through this bullshit if you didn't actually care about anime? Like, what are you talking about, you fucking freaks?
I mean, we're in the trenches down here. Let me say, there's nothing to gain. There's nothing to gain by coming down to our
level.
There
is nothing. As an adult black woman, there is nothing to gain. There is this is a boneyard. There is nothing for you here except for the love of the game. So, Meg, like, much respect. Like, for real. The only good thing about these awards.
Yeah, for real.
Okay. Jesus Christ. All right, let's call it. Let's get out of here.
All right.
There's your fucking anime people.
Handsome and beautiful and tall listeners.
What a devastating week for anime and the culture at large.
absolute losses around every corner.
Awful. Jesus Christ.
Rip to Toriyama.
Rip to anime.
Rip to anime. It's been dead for a long time. Check us out online. Give us the likes, subscribes, TikTok, YouTube. We're on there. That's it for us.
Get on Blue Sky, please. I need you. I need some fucking retweets. get up with that. Let me see it. Apple reviews, I guess. I still check that every once in a while. Still only got the one.
But it was a 5-star.
It was a 5-star. That's great. Okay. Well, until the next awards show. Goodbye, handsome and beautiful listeners.
Bye. So,